Hello, 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 hello. I just want to say hello, and I can't even say it enough today, folks. Hey, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach, and you know what? We're at Speak to Me First podcast show today. Why am I excited? Well, I'm excited for a few reasons. Number one, I have a wonderful guest, and I'm telling you, you're going to hear a lot about her book, how she empowers young people, particularly young girls, youth, and we need more people to do that. So I'm really excited about that. And she has a book launch that's coming out this month, February 14th. You know, that's Valentine's Day, folks. For the love of it, you're going to have to get that book. Believe me, you will want to get that book. And not only that, I want to say she is a native of New Jersey, and I'm in the next state, native of New York, but we both have some roots now in Atlanta, and of course, most recently with my conversation with Regina Coley, C-O-L-E-Y, she tells me now she's in Alabama. So I, you know, if for those of you who are just tuning in and will see this either live or broadcasted, you can't catch up with her, okay? So the bottom line is make sure you get to her website and she'll give you all of that information in due time. But for now, let me tell you, she is a cultivator. No, first, she's an educator and she's a motivator. And of course, she's a cultivator. Ooh, say that three times and see what happens when you do. And guess what? She is not only that, something else. She's a podcast host of the Called, C-A-L-L-E-D, to Cultivate podcast with Regina Coley, C-O-L-E-Y. And you'll notice her pictures out there and everything. She's all over social media, folks. You cannot miss Regina. With that said, let's just go ahead and start it. And I want one more thing. Oh, yes. For people, if you're out there and you're from an HBCU alumni, we're talking Howard is in the house, Washington, D.C., unmistakable. Bam. So now, introducing Regina Coley. Hello, Regina. Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. I'm so happy we met. We actually met virtually through LinkedIn. And, you know, we all kind of hang out over there on the career folks and a lot of the entrepreneurs. And there's so many people on that platform. So I'm really glad that I don't know how from your post or my post, maybe you responded or I responded to one of yours. It's just so nice. A fellow podcaster is in the house. Welcome. So, Regina, can you start by telling people, tell people a little bit about you and what's the tie-in to your book and your book launch on the 14th? And please let us know, how are you empowering young girls in the communities?
Okay. So, I am an only child, grew up under my mother's wing, who was an educator. And throughout all of my experiences in school, I always participated in girls' programs, one of which my mother started to teach us about African-American culture, to really pour into young ladies, which caused me to matriculate throughout high school and attend the only all-girls boarding school in New Jersey, and then graduate to go on to Howard. But during my time in reflecting on my career and what I wanted to do next, I recognize all the spaces that shaped me, molded me, helped me to develop my own leadership skills, and recognize the need for that to continue, and saw a need there in D.C. when I finished college. And I founded Leading Ladies of Legacy because if anybody knows anybody who graduated from Howard, everybody is a big name. And so the term legacy kept coming up for me. What will my legacy be? Will anybody even know that I went to the school? Will anybody know what I've done in this world? And that's your legacy. So I wanted to be able to teach young girls, young women, to start to think about that, because every decision that you are making every single day is ultimately what leads to your legacy. So we can't just despise these day-to-day activities that we have, because they're ultimately building up our history. They're you know, helping us develop our future is so, so critically important. So I founded the organization while I was there, started at the Boys and Girls Club. We met in the basement. It has evolved now into an 11-year-old organization. We moved to Atlanta, started there, moved now to Alabama. We have roots here, and I'm just really excited about it. I wanted to make sure that girls had tools in their hands, which led to me authoring books. It's like, books will live on forever. That's a part of my legacy. It's making sure that my thoughts go into paper and they live on forever. So the book Non-Negotiables, which is coming out February 14th is our launch date, and an opportunity for girls to think about their values, what is important to them, and how are they making that known in the world. So we all find ourselves in situations where people can pressure us into doing things that we may not want to. And if girls are not intentionally thinking about what do I stand for and how do I make my convictions known in the world, then they might fall or succumb to something that can ruin their reputation or just not reflect the woman that it is that they're becoming. So the book really talks a lot about that. The value system, belief system, convictions, gives us some useful language and shared language that girls can use to help think about that ahead of time. So I'm really excited about the book and how it's going to help shape the lives of young women.
Wow. And I'm telling you, if you're just tuning in, first of all, that's a lot of information, and I want you to know that the one thing that I noticed out of everything you said, it still comes back to, in essence, you are empowering youth, young girls, because you mentioned you were the only child. And ironically, can you tell folks, I mean, I know we talked about this off camera, but you did say it was okay to share, you know, that you are a mother of seven. And I don't know how many of them are girls, but oh my goodness, they have a wonderful mom. The legacy is right in your own house right now. And then there is a congratulations course that you wanted to talk about.
Yes. So I'm expecting our eighth child in now just about six more weeks. So we're looking at mid-March, and we will officially have four boys and four girls. So we'll be even now with our legacy building family.
Well, I can tell you this, folks, and speaking directly to Regina, you know, it sounds like you have another book coming. How about that? Or several or several books. You know what I mean? And believe me, you know, when you talk about, in all seriousness, when you talk about your book and getting people to buy into the fact that they too can leave a legacy, even if you start out on the wrong foot. You know, I don't know about you, but when you say you grew up as an only child, you know, did you have a whole lot of women in your life, aunties or grandmothers on either side, or godmothers, if you will? Because not all of us had that, you know. And some of us, you know, our biological moms, we did not grow up with them as well. Could have been adopted moms and so off and so on. So my point and question to you is, who actually was empowering you? That, what do you think, or who was it that sort of tapped into you, you know, other than the HBCU that you attended, but was there someone way back when in your life, when you were coming up between Jersey and Atlanta, that really poured into you as a young girl?
My own family. So my grandmother also had eight children. She had six girls and two boys. So I have six aunts and my grandmother, and my mother, all of which who went. When I started to really reflect on who was responsible, who groomed me for womanhood, it was my own family. But it also was a collection of my mother's friends who were there in New Jersey, who were teachers, who, you know, their daughters and I played together. So we all kind of grew up together, all influential then too, just looking at them, seeing the work that they did, how they carried themselves, how they spoke. All resonated with me. So I've always been around a strong community of women that I can look up to who were exemplary. But specifically in my own family, it was my family members. So I definitely hold them in high regard because they were the example for me what it means to have a career or a family or to be a wife or to be a mom. I just grew up being able to see that firsthand.
Wow. And when you think about what's going on today. You know how when you think about, oh, well, if you were sitting down with your grandmother, or some people still have great grandmoms who are still alive, or grandfathers. And we used to sit down and they would tell us stories. A lot of times when we got older, we were kids and we didn't want to listen to them. You know, they were trying to pour into something to us as young girls and we didn't want to listen. You know, in my house, I grew up with a single mom which I was telling you about, you know, who was had her master's degree in special education. Okay. But even with that said, I struggled with my own learning challenges. So, but I was still poured into, you can still be and do whatever you want to do. My communication skills have always been on point and I use them on stage. That means singing groups and so on in Brooklyn. So for you, when you talk about that, do you find things are different now where maybe a lot of young girls, they just don't want to listen, or is it just the way that we're trying to pour into them? Should we be doing something different?
Yes and no. I think we need to keep what works and let it work. The same way that I mentioned, those were natural mentors. I don't think that they intentionally were sitting down and saying, today I'm going to teach Regina how to cook. It was just like, I watched you cook so I could know how to make this kit from scratch because that's what you did every day. It wasn't intentional. So I think that we have both natural mentors in our lives. Mm-hmm. Who are those people who are around us, who influence what we do without even knowing it. Mm-hmm. But then we have intentional programs where they're community-based or school-based programs. But I do find that there is sometimes a barrier where, especially our adolescent girls, they hear the messages, but sometimes it just depends on the messenger. I remember having a conference not long ago, and a teenager, a mother and her daughter came. Mm-hmm. The daughter ended up crying by the end of the conference, and I didn't understand why she was crying. Mm-hmm. And her mother, she said, my mom has been telling me this for years, the exact same thing, but it had to come from a different person for it to resonate with her. And I said, well, I'm glad you were able to take something away from the day's event. And I recognized then that it's not always about the message, it's sometimes the messenger. And sometimes mm-hmm. we just have people who can communicate better or in a different type of way. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. So creating that village around these girls, they're going to hear the same message and they need to hear it from multiple voices to understand that this person isn't just telling me this because she's my mom and she loves me. This is what it is. So having a varied conversations, I think, is important, and having multiple women and being exposed to different types of people mm-hmm. with similar messaging is so critically important.
Wow. And I couldn't have said that better myself. And I'm glad that you said, because even though if you have your aunties, you may have multiple, like you said, there were like six at least on one side. My goodness gracious. You know, for me, it was just, well, it was actually just one on, well, actually there were a total of three. Because on my father's side, he had two sisters. And then my mom's side, she had one. And because I was primarily raised in my mom's house in Brooklyn, my father's family was in Queens, Jamaica, Queens, New York. For those of you who are listening, we're talking about Hollis, folks, if you know the area. But the reality is all that pouring came into more on my mom's side. And they were much stricter, put it that way. So either you were going to learn something or you weren't. You were going to listen or you didn't. There was no real... It wasn't a whole lot of in between, but I like what you said about, I believe you were referring to your grandmother with the biscuit story. And if you take that and figure out how to even mold a biscuit from scratch, where do you start? What are the tools? But you listened, you were observing. And I'd love to see that even more, you know, with young people in general, but particularly, you know, ones that we're trying to mentor and of course coach. And I like that, what you said, because it reminds me of my own grandmother who had her own business in Brooklyn. And I always talk about it, Bedford Stuyvesant, which is historic. And near the Fulton, started out on that Fulton Street area. Everybody knows that. If you say Brooklyn, Fulton Street, you know what that means. But I just watched her do hair. You know, you come home from school and I had to sit in her shop and wait for my mom and all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, but I seem to be one of the men, few who can actually use a traditional curling iron, meaning the one you put on the fire. So, guys, we won't get more into that, but that we're talking hot comb stuff. We might actually, maybe that's a new book, Hot Comb. But I got to tell you, whichever way we can do it, if you agree, that's with your book and with the ladies or the young ladies that you serve and communities you serve. Do you have a hard time finding people to come on board and help out with that? I mean, how does your organization work? And what if someone were listening today and were thinking about doing something similar? What if some of your, you know, some of your advice, just a couple of tips that you would say, hey, you know, I really like to work with young people. I like what Regina Coley said today. Are there just a couple of things you could advise them to do if they wanted to get on board with serving young girls?
Sure. So getting involved in this space is so needed. And I think sometimes I hear messages from women all over the world who find out about the organization, mm-hmm. and they say, can I start a chapter? Absolutely, you can start a chapter. Like, you don't have to start from scratch if you're interested in the way that we host our curriculum. We do license the program, and you can start a chapter for it. But then you also have people who have their own idea and vision of what's passionate, a passion area for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen people who are very passionate about nutrition, and they want to talk more about healthy foods and herbs in the Black community, and they want to just specifically focus on that one thing. Mm-hmm. And they come through, I offer on, through my business, a youth development certificate that goes through the process of how do you develop a program, what is most important, what assets you should focus on in terms of how you are developing these youth, if there's any standards, how do you get buy-in in the community, all these things that you should think about before you launch a program and kind of have in place. And to me, it feels simple because I've been doing it for so long. To somebody else who may be starting, it feels overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And my goal is to always take away the overwhelm because it's not difficult. If you see somebody else in your community who's already reaching girls, mm-hmm. maybe find a different way to reach them. Like, our focus is leadership and character development. Yours may be nutrition. Yours may be sports. So we can have multiple programs in a community. I don't think that's any reason to get intimidated or to walk away and say, somebody else is already doing that. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. There are some girls in your community who still are not being talked to, who are still isolated, who still need a program. So I wouldn't be intimidated by that. I would look into where they're attending school. Maybe there's not a program that's being offered at their school. Mm-hmm. I found that to be most effective sometimes in the community. You have girls who have to go home and take care of other siblings, or they're working and they cannot commit to a program. Mm-hmm. But if you meet them where they are at school, it tends to be a really great place to start. If you're ever interested in volunteering with us, I don't have a hard time getting mentors. People love to pour back into you. So they go onto the website, which is leadingladiesoflegacy.org, and there is a volunteer page there. They fill out the form and just express where they may be interested in serving, whether that's as a mentor, or they may have another skill set and say, I think this skill set will be advantageous to your nonprofit or your community work. Can we talk partnership? And we talk it out. We try to find a way to find a good fit. But there's so many ways to find your footing, even virtually, if you're in another state, if you're in another country. Yeah. I've had people reach out to me from literally other countries who want to get started and don't have access to the same resources, but we all have access to the same internet. So there's so many ways to still pour into communities all over globally, just by getting on calls like this, Zoom calls, or scheduling some opportunities to do video conferencing. But there's mm-hmm. always a child somewhere. I have to remember the 7 billion people in this world that need someone to talk to them, to believe in them, and to champion them. So always know that in your heart there's a space for you and the things that you've experienced and learned for some young person in this world.
Absolutely. And that's the good thing, because really your organization, you at this point, you can say it's global. It's not just in Atlanta. It may have started there, but it's extensive. I mean, globally, just like the podcast, and you happen to be a podcast host as well. And you know, even as we're speaking, and of course, the interview will be shared globally. So if you're just tuning in and listening, I'm talking today to my guest, and her name is Regina Coley, C-O-L-E-Y, currently based in Alabama, the state of Alabama, but by way of Atlanta. And initially, she started out in Jersey, folks. She is a Jersey lady. and I'm a native New Yorker, but we have some things in common, which I love. Number one, you know, the volunteer aspect, serving your community. I think, including myself, I know that I always feel I could do more. We want to do more. And as we age, we start saying, wait a minute, how much time do I have? You know, some of us. But listen, for all of those who are listening, I'm sure Regina could probably find something for you to do. you know, check out her website, you know, and when I say website, go ahead and, by the way, just say your website, Regina.
So my personal website is reginacoley.com. My last name is spelled C-O-L-E-Y. And the organization's website is leadingladiesoflegacy.org.
leadingladiesoflegacy.org. Not .com, folks, .org. It is an organization. So don't say, well, I was looking for it and I couldn't find it. Okay, guess what? Go on to LinkedIn, which is where I found this wonderful person. She was out there on LinkedIn with her post, and she has a previous post, Regina Coley, C-O-L-E-Y, MBA, leading ladies of legacy. And as I said, that's .org. Believe me, say that three times and see what happens. I had to practice all of that, you know. But, you know, one of the things on a more serious note, too, and tell me what your thought is on that and if you've experienced, because you're working with young girls. And can you give me an idea about the ages when we talk? Because we say young, but, I mean, what are we talking in terms of anybody under 18 or...
Oh, yes. So our programming actually starts in the third grade, around about 8 or 9 years old, all the way through age 18. We've had programs before that worked with 16 and 24, because we also found that that's also a transition into adulthood that still needs to be supported. Mm-hmm. But we've since ended that program. So mostly we work with that K through 12 youth population. So when we talk about youth, that's who we're talking about. But the books and resources, I still captured that 18 to 24, kind of on my own, still doing my own thing, but still need love and support as I'm transitioning into adulthood. So when I say youth, it covers that range.
Okay, good. Because some people say, well, you know, I don't mind. But if they say, well, I don't want to go work with too young, I think, you know, my niche would be over here to better help and serve within your organization, or if they're thinking about starting their own. So this is just good to know. But, you know, what I was thinking about when you were talking about, and that's why I asked about the age, in terms of mental health. Okay. I'm not a clinician. I don't believe you are. And correct me if I'm wrong, but in terms of a medical diagnosis and all that, but there are many young girls and boys, by the way, that, you know, when you're young, you're just kind of trying to find your way. And then everybody's depressed. We got COVID. I mean, even us as adults are getting somewhat down in the dumps because things aren't happening the way they used to happen. And now we're like, oh, we had to pivot with your branding of your business or your career. I mean, it just happens to all of us. And I happen to, my background is primarily HR. So I understand what it means. People lost their jobs or they're trying to reconnect on a job. They don't know which way is up. And the news and everything else changes rapidly. So you have to keep up. But for the young people, what I'm understanding as I'm listening to a lot of broadcasts, that they're having somewhat of a difficult time to adjust, especially in the schools, whether it's hybrid or not, homeschooling as an option. Are you finding that as well? And is there something in your book that may help a parent? Because even with your book, the first person that's going to jump at the book will probably be a parent. And so what can you offer on that, in that perspective, briefly, in terms either for the parent, or is there some kind of help out there within your organization? You know, are you just seeing it? I guess in essence, I'm asking, are you seeing this too? You know?
Yes. Yeah. So I definitely see it. And as an educator, it's that social emotional piece that has always been needed in our schools, but may not have been magnified in the way that it needed to be magnified. Mm-hmm. And I think the pandemic taught most of us that it needs to be magnified. And if your school isn't already addressing it, it needs to be addressed in your home. And I think that that was the biggest shift for so many people, was my emotions and how I feel every day are so deeply rooted with the people that I see on a day-to-day basis. Mm. And to no longer see them and to operate in isolation completely shifted everybody's mental capabilities, adult and children alike. Mm-hmm. And I think the adults were so busy focusing on how to adjust themselves that it was difficult to give that full attention to children who also needed that same mental support, who are adjusting to being on computers, who may not have been on them before, who are trying to talk to a screen. I know that at the beginning of the pandemic, my children, who I homeschool now, mm-hmm. and had homeschooled previously, we had returned back to work and back to school to get back in the flow. I remember one day my daughter, she hadn't actually attended this school. She started the year on the computer. She wanted to talk to her classmates. She's social. The teacher said, I recognize that she wants to talk, but she can't talk to anybody in the Zoom chat. She needs to focus on her academics.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's six. She wants to make a friend in this classroom. You're going to have to give like 5 minutes of icebreaker, a chance to put that mic on for them to see each other and connect and know that there's another human being on the other end of the screen. Yes, academics are important, but that social piece is just as important. Mm-hmm. So when you realize sometimes educational institutions are not prioritizing the same things that are important to you, and that's important for me and for my children to be whole educationally, emotionally, socially, mentally, all of these things, mm-hmm. I look at the holistic child. Homeschooling was what we decided to go back to because I knew that was something that I can provide for them. But I think schools are just now getting into it, where they're looking for programs that focus on social emotional learning to say, have we checked in with you today? Is everything okay? Did you eat breakfast? Are you feeling good today? And they're really trying to make that shift. We had some stellar places who were doing that, but I think not everyone's recognizing, even at work, that breaks are needed, rest is needed, check-ins are needed, because we're dealing with real human beings here, not just employees, not just families, but humans. And we have to learn how to find that commonality again. But yes, our children are definitely struggling mm-hmm. with it. I offer resources. I have a book that's all about social emotional learning. And it's for girls, but honestly, it's for any child. And it's a refresher for parents if they need it. So what are some ways that you can connect with your child aside from the just, how was your school day today, sweetie? Which I think is something that every parent asks. Mm-hmm. How can we develop that conversation further so that we can really reach the heart of our children?
Absolutely. And the thing is, because you have been in the classroom, you've been on the other side with the students, you're trying to get their attention. I'm telling you, folks, if you're just joining us, I've been talking with Regina Coley. And yes, she is an educator. She's a motivator. And of course, more importantly, she's a cultivator. She's worked in the school system as an educator for many years. And one thing that, Regina, you have been dropping the gems today. There are many people that say, well, what's in a book? And we're not going to go to the book. We're just going to do our own thing. Sometimes, you know, we all need to just try to get into a book. And if you get one thing out of that book, and then you pass that on to your child or multiple children in the home or your nieces and nephews that may be in that age range. In this case, we were focusing so much on the girls and young girls because of your organization. What is the one thing you might say to leave that person with today? When they go to your book and they finish reading it, what do you think is something that they're going to actually get out of that book? What's at least the main thing that you're hoping that they get out of your book?
It's how to set boundaries. I think boundaries are important. I think that this book is something that you can read with your own daughter, grandmother, read it for yourself. I know that we get resources for our kids, and I buy them for my daughters too. And I'm like, read that book out loud to me, because while you're getting fed, I'm also getting fed again. And that is an important aspect for me. It's like, it's not just me pouring into you. Sometimes I need a refresher for myself on concepts and things that are important to me. I need to hear it just as much as you did. But the book really talks about boundaries and what is important to you, learning how to put yourself first. Is the reason why I'm launching it on Valentine's Day. Because it's not about so much did somebody else give you candy, flowers, attention, or love. Did you give yourself that love and affection that you are so desperately looking for from somebody else. And that's the foundation I believe that we need to set for ourselves and for our daughters is starts here first. Self-love starts here. And knowing yourself, learning what is important to you, mm-hmm. and not just knowing it for yourself, but applying it in your life on a day-to-day basis. Does anybody else know that that is important to you? I remember one time, this is years ago on Facebook, I asked, can somebody tell me your top three things that are important to me, just based off of us being Facebook friends? Mm-hmm. And they were like, those girls, your family, your kids. Like, they know. They just know from following, like, you know, your kids, you don't talk about them all the time. My girls group, you don't talk about that all the time. Your faith, but because those things are important, but you recognize sometimes, does anybody else see in me what I see in me? And I think that that's an important thing to help our girls understand. You can believe it for yourself, you should believe it for yourself, but the people around you should also know, like, you might not want to approach her with that, you might not want to ask her to go to that party because she's doing something a little different over there. They need to know that, like, set yourself above. You are set apart for a reason. Yes. So I hope that people walk away with knowing that and walking in that full confidence that this is who I am, I've defined myself for myself, and I'm about to let the world know it.
Absolutely. And let the world know it again right now. Please go ahead and say the name of your book.
It is Non-Negotiables, The Keys to Defending and Protecting Your Values.
Mm. To protecting and defending your values. Yes. Amazing. Yes. Because we're doing a lot of protecting. When we think about our children, or even our families in general, we want to protect, whether it's your spouse or your significant other, we get into protective mode. What did you say to my child? What did you say to them? So we get all of that. And for those of us who don't have children, we still may be pouring into other people's children, such as our nieces and nephews, etc. So it's really important. Would you say that the book, like you said, it's for, it really could be for anyone, but your primary audience for that particular book is the parents or guardians of young girls? Is that
it's correct? Actually written directly to adolescents and young adults.
Okay.
So we're talking teenagers, we're talking college age students. It is that transition from mom has been telling me that this is who I am my whole life, but who am I as I'm stepping out into my own? So it's that transition into young adulthood. I recognize it's happening now in high school, okay, a lot earlier than the girls are leaving home, but they're getting a chance to go out with friends or join this club, and y'all are traveling. You have a little bit more time to yourself where you're making decisions for yourself.
Yes.
And that process needs that support. So even if a parent picks up this book and they know that it's something that their child needs, but they're not sure how to facilitate that conversation, this is a great tool for any parent to also have an extra copy of and say, let's look at this thing together. You know, you can read it, but let's talk about it over dinner once you finish chapter one. Or let's talk about it after chapter three. You know, just to check back in and see how they're processing what they're reading.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's great because, first of all, go out and Regina Coley today, folks, she is doing a book launch, and she'll be doing that all via a few social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and did you say?
Instagram.
Instagram, yes. It seems like a lot of people's over on Instagram. You get your IG accounts up, folks. Come on. If you don't have one, it's a good, great time to create one. But definitely, you know, you want to check that out. February 14th, it is the day of love, as they say, or just a day of caring, you know, but self-love, self-care is very important. We've been talking about that all throughout the pandemic. Today is no different, folks. And, you know, I want, even before we wrap up, I want to make sure that people know that they can go ahead and log on to their Instagram or YouTube. And on YouTube, are you Regina Coley on YouTube? So to make sure that they can catch you on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. So on all social media platforms, I'm The Motivator, and it's MOTIVATHER, Motivate Her, with an emphasis on that.
Yes.
But that feels the same on all platforms, yes.
Motivate Her with that big H-E-R. I've seen it out there. You can't miss it. But again, if you're hanging out on that LinkedIn platform with a lot of professionals, entrepreneurs, and they have their branding out there, Make sure you connect with Regina because she's going to be doing some awesome things in 2022. Not that she hadn't been already, but she's getting ready to amp it up. We got a new baby coming over there. I want to say congratulations to you and your family. You know, because I know that it's got to be busy. Just the fact you took some time out to do the podcast interview. And hey, you got about another month before the baby's due. So maybe we need to have you come back, even with a new book, and talk about parenting of eight. Eight is great, as they might say. So I want to thank you so much because leading ladies of legacy.org. My guest today, I've been talking with Regina Coley. Yes, she has her MBA. She's an HBCU grad. Howard University is in the house, Washington, D.C., if you will. And that's, by the way, was my mother's stomping ground over there. It's Washington, D.C. In fact, I always thought I think I should have been born in Washington, but I was born in New York. But, you know, life has its own plans. But at any rate, so I do identify with that. You're an educator, cultivator, motivator. You've been motivating people for years. Today is no different. If you've been listening, you've been listening to Regina Coley. You're on the Speak to Me First podcast show. Again, you can be found, or we can all of these podcasts out here. But make sure you subscribe and like and share this podcast. It's on Anchor FM, Spotify, Google, you name it, I'm there. I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach. And what I want to say to Regina, if she can, you know, pull this for me together. One last tip that you have. We have the young girls. We talked about youth empowerment, youth advocacy. Is there one thing that you would leave this audience today with so that they can be encouraged to take that time? Because we all say, we don't have time. I'm busy. I'm this. I'm that. I'm hybriding at work. I'm Zooming all day. I don't have the time. Is there something you would say as a mother of seven that took the time to do this podcast interview? Anything that you can give a tip or something you'd like to leave us as we're getting ready to close?
Make time. Make time for what's most important to you. I think time is the same tool that we all have at our disposal. Nobody is exempt from the same 24 hours. You have the same 24 hours in a day. What is important to you, you'll make time for. And even if it's 20 minutes, a 20-minute conversation is so impactful for a young person if you're using your words wisely. It does not have to be something where it consumes your life. It takes you away from your own family, your work. But there is always time. The time that you would have taken to sit down and watch a show is time that you could have taken to hop on a Zoom call. Even if you're eating lunch during your lunch break, tap into one of the local schools and tell them, hey, I'm going to have my lunch. You have your class. Bring lunch to the classroom. Let's connect on Zoom. Let's talk about my career and my career path. I want to talk to the young people. We are living in a world right now where we are so more connected than we've ever been to the people in the community around us that we don't have any excuses as to why we can't do things. We still just make excuses because we don't want to do things. So if this is important to you, if you feel convicted, like I can do more, I should be doing more, and you're looking for some creative ways to spend your time or get involved, Google is your friend. I'm your new friend. Reach out. There are so many people who are still looking for supportive hands. So just plan on making some time this week. Even if it's small, say I have 20 minutes, I can commit my lunch break to doing something to make a difference for somebody else this week and commit to that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'll tell you, if you're having a graduation for the girls, I hope you consider me as one of your keynote speakers. I'd be happy to do that. Speaking is my thing, so if I can lend my hand to that, I'd be happy to do so. Thank you so much, Regina. Now I'm going to just go ahead and, audience, I want to let you know, first of all, you've been listening to Speak to Me First podcast show. I cannot say enough how thankful thankful I am to have met someone. And again, the platform we met on was LinkedIn. I met Regina Coley on LinkedIn. Networking works, people. Believe me, it can. You can collaborate, you can connect. It may not lead to something long-term, but even if it is short-term, you can be, at least make something happen. Just make something happen. Do something every day in your life. That's what I would say from a positive note. The other thing is too, in terms of pouring into youth, I'm excited to talk about an event coming up for me. I'll be speaking on the platform of NEPRIS, N-E-P-R-I-S. It is a free event celebrating the Black History Month. And also it's a Black History Month series. I'll be talking to students. So I may need to call Regina before it's all over, but I'll be talking to students, the K through 12, but primarily as low as the fourth graders, about public speaking 101. Essentially, if you were on that stage as a young child, a kid, you always wanted to be in front of the stage. You were always talking to all of the people in your family. They said, hey, so-and-so will go up there, not just dance and sing. They actually were speaking and talking about something they were passionate about as a kid. You just loved people. You didn't mind it. You weren't too shy. And even if you were, you did it anyway. Okay, I just described myself, folks. How about that? And I want to tell you that I'm excited about being on that platform, which happens to be on, you know, February 14th, the Day of Love. So the same day that, Regina, you are launching your book launch, I will be doing my thing at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So who knows, depending on the time, I'll definitely want to tune into your live, you know, if I can. So with that, folks, I want to say again, thank you so much, Regina. We needed to hear more about what's going on with our youth. We need to be connected. I think the overall theme here today was about really connecting or reconnecting, and daughters with their moms or guardians, because not everyone actually grew up with either their biological mom. They had their aunties and grandmas that really raised them from a child all the way through adulthood. So the blended family, they're different. The families have changed. The way we look at families have changed. But at the end of the day, whoever you look up to and whoever's pouring into you, just take that minute and time and say, wow, how can I pour into a young person, whether it's a young lady or a young man? Either way, what good is all the knowledge if you're not sharing it? That's just my thought on that. And of course, you know, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your No Sugarcoating Coach. We have more interviews coming up this month. I'm really excited about that. Regina Coley, you are awesome. And if no one has told you lately that you are awesome, I'm here today to say, hey, give people their flowers now. That's how we do it. So to you, I congratulate you again and your family for your expecting your eighth child in about a month or so. And you know what? You're going to be busy. So all I'm going to say is I hope to see you, catch you on the 14th and on your program and with your live and everything, with your book launch. And if you have some time, feel free to register for my event as well. It is free, by the way, if I didn't say that it's free, NEPRIS platform, N-E-P-R-I-S. It's an educational platform, online education, K through 12. So thank you so much for joining me today. And I will talk with you soon. And again, where can you find me? Well, let's go back. Where can we find my guest? Again, one more time for those in the back. What is your website and how can they get a hold of you, Regina?
So I'm on your favorite social media platform at Motivate Her, M-O-T-I-V-A-T-H-E-R. Or you can visit my website at reginacoley.com.
Absolutely. And for me, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your No Sugarcoating Coach. And you can find me on Instagram at No Sugarcoating Coach. I'm on Facebook, Toy Johnson Vincent, motivational speaker. Both my profile and my page is available. LinkedIn, Twitter, yes, on YouTube. And all you need to do, if you're interested in scheduling your 45-minute now, complimentary coaching call. I did say complimentary, one time only coaching call for 45 minutes. It may change the trajectory of your life, as I am a life coach, motivational speaker, and more importantly, I just want you to be successful. So as I end my broadcast, as I always end it this way, I want to tell you, success is in your future. Bye for now.